Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jason Kelce never looked at notes yesterday when he went over all of the foibles of
his teammates.
I'm sure
he rehearsed that, though, right?
Oh, that was special. That was like something out of the World Wrestling Federation, wasn't it?
One of those moments. It definitely had a WWE feel to it.
I think he softened it up a little bit too much. He should have went after his teammates for more serious personal problems. I mean, he did say one guy was on the juice, right? Can't stay off the juice.
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson gets indicted. You know, I don't know. Pick a guy and say, hey, he's just always doing cocaine, or he's always banging, you know, just doing this or doing that. I wonder if anybody said to him, did you really have to say that? Did you really have to say I was on the juice? Did you have to go in that direction?
Well, he's saying that's what people were. He was using it in a way to dispute those assertions.
Right. I understand the
kind of like he's implicating them by defending them.
I woke up yesterday morning and immediately put on my Jason Kelce decoder ring so okay. I would be prepared for the parade in
Philadelphia. And you were planted in front of the television and watching every moment of that parade?
And I couldn't even enjoy it because Colleen Wolfe was one of the moderators on NFL Network. Now, she's a Philadelphia girl, so I suppose it makes sense to have her on that broadcast, but I was hoping to have been done with her after Super Bowl Sunday. That Good Morning Football weekend crew is a disaster. I like it during the week. I don't know if you ever watched those guys on NFL Network. Nate
not
Burleson,
during the weekend.
Kay Adams. The weekend guy. That's horrible.
I will
Michael
do
Robinson
the morning
does
show. I will occasionally on the treadmill or whatever, the background noise. Yeah, occasionally. I find it amusing, though, Mac, that you would commit yourself to watching a Philadelphia parade on a random Thursday in Chicago. I think that says how much of a fan, it's how much you miss the football season 4 days into the off season.
I know. Miss it. I know. I don't know what I'm going to do Sunday. I really don't.
Watch the Super Bowl for a third time.
Yeah, well, I've watched it. Actually, I've watched it 2.5 times already, although I don't count the halftime because it wasn't the game in its entirety. It's the NFL Network's chopped up version of the game. And I can watch it 15 times, and I still will marvel at the absence of strong defensive play, which didn't make it a great Super Bowl for me. I understand the excitement level was high, the back and forth nature, even though the Patriots didn't get their lead until the Gronkowski touchdown in the middle of the fourth quarter. It was an exciting game from that standpoint, but I like seeing quarterbacks running for their lives. And
I know
that
you
didn't
do.
Happen.
I like good defense too, but I think that when you look at the way this reflects where the NFL is now, it's you look at the NBA, the changes, it's space and pace, right? That's what people like to say. Fred Hoiberg's offense, the Celtics offense, the Warriors certainly the standard. You look at the NFL and you've got to play in a way that you have to have that kind of an explosive offense to win these days. And everybody in NFL cities, they kind of maybe force this every year after the Super Bowl, but everyone wants to have a takeaway, right? You want to take away, what did we learn from the Super Bowl champion we can apply to our given team that everybody follows 365? For the Bears, it's just that. It's the way that Doug Peterson approached beating the Patriots in that offensive mindset, that aggressive, attacking, fearless mindset. The way he called plays, the game plan he devised, they had no fear. They had Nick Foles, but they had no fear. They treated Nick Foles like he was Tom Brady. They gave him no limitations. They had no inhibition. And they executed at a high level. That play was iconic when the flea flicker was called on 4th and 1. That was Nick Foles, as you saw in the NFL Films clip later. He was like, let's do this. That's the approach the Bears have to take with Matt Nagy. That's the takeaway that a first-time head coach can take from a second-year head coach in Doug Peterson. You've got to be yourself. You've got to be fearless, and you've got to attack offensively because that is your strength.
Here's another takeaway I have from the NFL season, and I'm glad you shaped it that way because I didn't think we would get into this today. It's something that I haven't really talked about all season, and it's been evidenced not only in Philadelphia, but probably more, way more pronounced with the Minnesota Vikings. I always have advocated an NFL team having three quarterbacks always, at all times, on the roster. How did it work for the Vikings this year, having three guys in camp available? Now, granted, they knew one of them was a struggle coming back in Teddy Bridgewater, so you had to out of necessity.
Worked well.
But that worked out okay for Minnesota. They didn't get to the Super Bowl. They were one game shy of it, but they accomplished far more with a $2 million a year quarterback than they were expected to. And had the Eagles, I don't know, I don't even know who backed up Nick Foles last Sunday. Do you even know who the Eagles?
The name
who
is the escapes Eagles back me.
Up? Nate Sudfeld.
Nate Sudfeld. Though,
Nate
yeah.
Sudfeld, Sudfeld. That's right. Yeah. Nate Sudfeld. Now, Nate Sudfeld had been in those meeting rooms for weeks and weeks and weeks. Now, you're not going to win a Super Bowl likely with Nate Sudfeld. You're not going to win it likely or even get to it with a third-level quarterback. But if you get close to being in that position, as the Eagles were, they won 13 games this year, and they had a quality backup, and had he gotten hurt middle of the fourth quarter, would you know, at least Nate Sudfeld knows the terminology. I've always felt that is critical. It's the most important position on the field. You're always one hit away from being down to your backup. I want a guy who knows my quarterback's coach, knows my OC, understands every nuance of the language of our offense, and doesn't need a tutor to catch up on things because he wasn't with us in training camp. He's been here the whole way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And three quarterbacks, and I was the guy that stumped for Mark Sanchez, much to the chagrin of guys like Mully, who made fun of that idea that he had a professional, basically an assistant coach for Mitch Trubisky. He was a mentor. I get the three quarterback argument. I agree with you. I think the three quarterbacks makes a lot of sense if your roster can afford that, absorb that. But then you look at, and your point's well taken because of the familiarity, all these things. But look what Jimmy Garoppolo did, dropping into San Francisco at a moment's notice in the middle of October, learning the offense, not getting on the field until week 12, perhaps. The last five games, that was a different team. He made them different, and he wasn't there at training camp. He met his quarterback's coach when he got off the plane. Now he's the richest man in the NFL. History.
More per history. Season. Not the biggest package length of deal per season, I believe, right?
That's per season. Yeah.
Per season.
So I like the rule, Mac. I like the rule that you're suggesting. Three quarterbacks makes sense. If I'm going to form my roster, I want three quarterbacks because of protections, because of experience, because of familiarity. There are exceptions, though. The exceptions to the rule are guys like Garoppolo.
Yeah, Garoppolo, boy, oh boy. He cashed a big payday yesterday, didn't he, man? Good for him.
Five games. I think five starts, right, with the San Francisco 49ers and two with the –
Have you seen enough to say confidently the 49ers won't regret paying him that much? Have you seen enough of him to think he'll live up to those?
I have seen enough to say that nobody can be certain. But I can see – I've seen enough to say that I would project that they will not regret this. If I were the 49ers, if I were the Chicago Bears – and they would have been able to execute plan A a year ago at this time. Plan A, going out and getting Jimmy Garoppolo and talking the Patriots into giving you a package or being open to that idea. That would have been money well spent for Ryan Pace. That is money well spent for the 49ers. This guy is a franchise quarterback. He looks the part. We know that. He's a GQ cover guy. But more importantly, he looks the part. In the pocket, not just on the magazine cover. This is a winner. I think that they did the right thing.
That's something that bothered me too this past season about Mitch Trubisky is how he looks in the. He doesn't look comfortable to me. He looks much better when he's getting outside of the pocket. He doesn't have pocket presence, and that's people say. Well, I don't know. Is that something a guy can get better at, or do you either have that or not have it? He doesn't feel pressure.
Well, you know, I don't. I think that we all sort of week to week were. Again, rushing to try to jump to conclusions here about Mitch Trubisky. And I would agree with you that he did not look like he was the most comfortable pocket passer. And you talk to scouts and you talk to coaches who watched him and, you know, I talked to an assistant coach who played against the Bears this year and said the same thing. You know, he's got some ways to go in terms of that poise and presence. But boy, you know, he looks good too, Mac. I mean, I like everything that he has to offer athletically, and you got to start somewhere. If you don't have the arm and you don't have the improvisational skill, it doesn't matter how good you may look in the pocket. Mike Glennon looks very comfortable in the pocket, but get him out of town, you know, tomorrow.
Mike Glennon.
Because, you know, he has that sort of stature and that pocket, you know, he looks good standing there. But I don't know that, you know, there's more than just that. Trubisky's going to be okay, I believe.
Well, we got Brad Childress here now. He's going to make everything right, too.
You don't like that either.
I have to confess, it is difficult for me to hear any piece of news out of Hallis Hall and not mock it.
You are mocking. You're in mock mode.
Well, how can you not be with this outfit?
What are you against Childress?
I have nothing against Childress. I just don't know what positive. I guess, you know, I'm not giving it much of a chance. Does the
if
new
you had
head
a producer
coach,
come in here for the first time doing your show, and he wanted to bring in a producer who had been a producer for 25 years, just to kind of...
I'd have hired a 25-year producer first.
Not if he... Well, so you think...
Well,
he,
no, I wouldn't. Any guy who's producing radio shows for 25
but
years...
You know what I mean.
The experience matters. No.
Experience matters.
Yes,
I
understand that. But it just... Things that it just seems like... It just seems like a... Really? I mean, is this...
I think that you're reacting to the reaction more than you are to the action.
You're right.
Because you don't like the idea, and you're mocking sort of like, oh boy, you know, here, now you have this offensive genius, all is well. I get that, because I think that we tend to overstate the significance of minor things at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, and at least you have some guy who's been on an NFL sideline before, unlike the new offensive coordinator who has never, Mark Helfrich, has never been on an NFL sideline. But hey, look what he did with Marcus Mariota at Oregon. Boy, oh boy, were they fun to watch. They just put points on the board right and left.
Love those uniforms.
How'd that work for Chip Kelly at Philadelphia, by the way? And they were exciting for 8 weeks, and then the rest of the world caught up to them, and they weren't so exciting. But yeah, it's difficult for me to hear anything Bears and not be negative about it. I'm trying to be open-minded. I'll tell you one thing I won't do. I will not pin the second half of the Chiefs' playoff loss to the Titans on Mark Nagy like that's all his career has been.
Or
I think
Matt Nagy.
That's ridiculously lazy to do that. Did I say Matt Nagy?
Did I call him Mark?
Yeah. Okay, Matt Marks. Yeah. I won't do that.
I think that's good of you. I think that I would suggest, just like the Bears did after John Fox coach's last game, they hit the big red reset button. Boom. That's what fans have to do now, too. Some media, too, because it's a new day. You have to give him a chance. Keep an open mind. Matt Nagy is a guy that sounds like he knows what he's doing. The proof will come on Sundays. But we don't have any Sundays to judge him by yet. Until we get there, these little things along the way are all we have to evaluate him by. Open mind.
And I have that. If we have time before... No, I do. I do, really, honestly. David, if we have time before we leave here today, I want to get in, if we can. We've got Tom Thibodeau's going to join us at the top of the noon hour. It'll have to be 12:30-ish if we want to. I would love to address some of the NFL's biggest offseason concerns, because everybody's got thoughts on them, and it's not just efficient. There are a lot of things the NFL has to get figured out, if they can, during the upcoming offseason. We'll visit with Chris Hines, the former Tribune reporter who is in Minnesota these days, writing for the Star Tribune. He covers all things Minnesota sports, so we could do a double dip with him. We could talk about the Super Bowl being in their city this past Sunday and all of the leftovers from that, as well as Jimmy Butler, who's in town with the T-Wolves tonight. And this hour of the show is being sponsored by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Get yourself one. They're a blast. You'll love that bag of frozen peas like I did. McNeil and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
670-11, if you want to get to us via text. Oh, my goodness, that's how you close an album. That's how you do it. That's The Ocean, track number 8, the final one.
Is that right? Is that what it is? I thought it was number 9.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I had the wrong one.
That's how you finish it. Oh, we're not on the drive right now. We're on the score.
Okay.
No milestones in rock today. According to one of our texters, I've been referring to the Bears' new head coach on my podcast as Mark Nagy.
Have you?
As well. Matt Nagy, Mark Helfrich.
Yep.
See, there was so much discussion early on whether it's Nagy or Nagy.
It's like Nagy.
So you forget the first name.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm blaming it on. Yeah.
N-E-G-G-Y.
Yeah. We'll be calling him something else by October.
Absolutely. After the first Sunday. And by the way, Mac, big news out of Nashville. TMZ is all over this. TMZ Sports, where I like to get all my sports information, reports that Kristen Cavallari is got a new reality show coming later this spring on the E! Network. And it will focus on her life in Nashville as she expands her fashion empire. And it will also inevitably, naturally, include Jay Cutler. He'll make appearances in the show. But it's really about
Kristen. Is that what he's going? Is he going back to television, or is he going to try to play football one more year?
Well, I think he'd probably like to play football one more year, but he probably wants to be a starter. I think that he's made that pretty clear that he's not interested in being a backup. You can... Anybody that's been around Jay Cutler at all throughout his NFL career would understand that he's not interested in being a backup. I'm not sure what kind of backup he
would be. I don't think he was interested in being a broadcaster, and I think ultimately that's why he got cold feet. I don't think it was the $10 million. I thought it was more that he probably wasn't comfortable in that role.
Whatever.
And I didn't want to listen to him. I was delighted he took the Dolphins job, and I'll call it a job because that's what it is, instead of broadcasting, because I didn't want to hear him. So,
Kevin Burkhart, who he was going to work with at Fox, I can remember talking to him after Jay's audition, and they were legitimately blown away by his level of engagement. He was really into that, and he showed early signs of having some insight from what they said. I'm going to take them at their word. Look, he's a bright guy. I think that he is an easy guy. He's polarizing. He's an easy guy for people to find fault with. He earned a lot of the derision that he received here.
He did.
On the other hand, we also saw a side of him near the end of his time in Chicago that would make you understand, or made me believe, that he could be pretty good in the booth and could be engaging at times. So I wouldn't rule out a TV career for him in the booth, if that's the direction he chooses to go.
We could use some fresh blood in booths around the country. I was not knocked out by as much as the rest of the world was by Tony Romo in year one. I know he received a lot of accolades. And I agree with those who say, hey, his enthusiasm was tremendous. That's great. I'm glad he's enthused. But I need a little bit more than his want to consistently predict what play is coming next.
Yeah, that got a little bit much.
Yeah.
When that became a thing online, it's almost like he began to read it. And every week he began to kind of react to that. And as if he were seeing the Tuesday post, like Tony Romo predicted this and Tony Romo predicted that. I like Tony Romo. I loved him as a quarterback. I don't know that I'm crazy about him yet as an announcer. I think he's got potential, but needs some polish.
I would love that crew to add a third voice to cover defense. If it were Jim Nance in your pants, Tony Romo, and you pick the defensive expert, I don't know, Willie McGinnis from NFL Network. I've never heard him do a game. I only heard him do studio things. I have no idea if he has an edge, but they need somebody in that booth to discuss defense. Unless, of course, they're doing the Super Bowl, because nobody plays defense in the Super Bowl, and you don't need an analyst. What am I going to analyze? Fletcher Cox didn't get off that block one more time. Now back to you. There's nothing to analyze in the Super Bowl defensively.
And yet the game's came down to a turnover.
Yeah, it came down to a turnover. I know. Isn't that special?
Force fumble.
How about that? Look at that. Look at that guy. You're allowed to touch the ball when it's in the quarterback's hands.
Would you not watch a game because Jay Cutler was broadcasting?
No, I'd watch it. I'd like to hate watch as well. So I don't deny that for a second. I can hate watch. Chris Hine is going to join us in just a minute.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Jimmy Butler, when a member of the Chicago Bulls, not always enamored with the effort he got from some of the veteran players like Dwayne Wade, et al. So Jimmy is no longer in a Bulls uniform, but he'll be at the United Center tonight. T-Wolves are in town, Minnesota Timberwolves. Tom Thibodeau joining us in about half an hour or so. Right now we're joined by Chris Hine, who is a former Tribster, who I guess you could say he's still a Tribster. He's a Minneapolis Star Tribster, joining us right now on The Score. How are you?
Hey, Chris.
I'm doing all right, guys. Good to be back with you.
Do you have us on speaker, sir?
No, I'm on my headphones here.
Oh, okay. All right. It sounds a little bit odd, but we'll try to prattle through this. How has Jimmy Butler enjoyed his life in a T-Wolves uniform as we get set to watch him play against his old team tonight?
He's back with Tibbs, which is, I think where he wants to be. They're contending. They're in, fourth place right now in the Western Conference. And he's really, I think people here in Minnesota have embraced him. They've seen so much bad basketball for so long. And I think they've been ready to watch a decent basketball team. And people up here love him. They've embraced him. He's embraced the city. He's embraced his teammates, and I think getting out of Chicago was a good thing for him career wise.
And Chris, I hope getting out of Chicago is a good thing for you career wise too. And we miss you here, but you've jumped in with this new beat, the analytics beat called the North Score at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. And a couple weeks ago, you had a really interesting story on Jimmy Butler and the fact that you look deeper within the numbers to see what's he doing differently this year to make him still as effective as he has been. And I found two things that stood out to me. Number one, he's shooting pull-up jumpers at a 44% rate, which is the highest in his career. And number two, he's over 50% off the dribble, which is also the highest in his career. What did he say about these subtle but significant adjustments to his game?
He didn't say much when I asked him about it. He was very coy, and he said, well, I shot a lot off the dribble in Chicago, and he said he shot a lot of pull-up jumpers, and that's kind of what the defenses give him. So he wasn't very, enlightening, I guess you could say, about it. But I think it goes to show you that even how many years is he now into his career? 7 or so years into his career. He always seems to make an improvement in one area of his game. And that was kind of the gist of that piece, was this is where he's made his latest jump. Now, it's a couple percentage points in mid-range jumpers, and he's shooting better off the dribble. But I think it just goes to show you that every year in this league, he has found a way to get better in one facet of his game or another. And, with the way the Timberwolves play, he has the ball a lot in his hands, and even though they spread the ball around a little bit, he's still one of the guys who's highest in terms of usage rate for them. So teams are giving him kind of these mid-range jumpers, and he's knocking them down at a higher clip, and it's one of the reasons why the Timberwolves, even though they don't shoot a lot of three-pointers, still have one of the more efficient offenses in the league.
I know you've not been there long, Chris, but when you look at where Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau are in sort of the sports landscape in Minneapolis. You've got the Vikings and Stephon Diggs that captured everybody's imagination and had the play of the year in the NFL up to that point. And you got the Twins and certainly the Wild. That's hockey country. And that's certainly understood when you go into the state of Minnesota, the state of hockey. Where do Thibs and Jimmy fit in there?
It's interesting. I think it's because it's the first year that they've been a contender, or at least a playoff caliber team. I think interest has been renewed in the Timberwolves, at least from people that I've heard. From what I've been told, the hierarchy is kind of like, the Vikings dominate the discussion and the media attention, the way the Bears do in Chicago. And usually the Twins tend to hover around number two, and then it's kind of a fight for third between the Wolves and the Wild. And right now, I think the Wolves have the upper hand there. And if the Twins are horrible, maybe they can even jump up to that number two slot behind the Vikings. But I think given the fact that they are going to be in the playoffs for the first time in a long time, there's renewed interest. There's better attendance. And I just think overall, people are more excited about basketball here than they have been in a long time.
Who's Mr. Timberwolf in franchise history? Is it Kevin Garnett?
It's got to be.
Yes, Kevin Garnett. I think he leads in points, rebounds, and assists. he's Mr. Timberwolf.
And yet there's a lot of support among T-Wolves fans from what you read, Chris. Tyus Jones, a local guy. Minnesota homegrown. You've got Jeff Teague at point guard, which makes the news or the reports of Derrick Rose possibly joining the T-Wolves after clearing waivers very interesting, because he would go there as perhaps the third guard. Aaron Brooks right now, the former Bull and journeyman, is the third guard now. What's the appetite, and how would Derrick Rose joining the T-Wolves be received locally?
It would not go over well at all. It would be a disaster, I think, from the fan standpoint. Just, you know, when I tweeted out that, you know, that possibility yesterday and people were reacting to it, the short time I've known Timberwolves Twitter, I guess, as you can call it, people were just going berserk. And they do not want to see this signing or this potential signing happen. They love Tyus Jones here. And part of that is because he's a local guy and Minnesotans love their own. So, you know, they already had this attachment to him and they're already down on Jeff Teague because they think a lot of people think Tyus Jones has played better than Teague this year. And some advanced metrics on a per minute basis will actually say yes. Tyus Jones has been better than Jeff Teague this year. So there's already this groundswell of support for Tyus Jones. And if Derrick Rose comes in here and starts eating into Tyus Jones's minute there, that might be the first kind of, I guess, the loss of the bloom on the rose of the Tom Thibodeau tenure here, if that ends up happening, because I don't think anybody, any Timberwolves fan wants to see that happen.
All right, Chris, I'm going to get to the important stuff now. I told Mac about your parlor trick about being able to name the top song on the top 40 chart any week that you've been alive. So 1998, top number one song on the top 40 hit.
1998, is it this week or
this
today?
Week in 1998.
This week in 1998. I'm going to say, is it Wannabe by the Spice Girls?
I'll have to check.
How
did you develop it? You would ask me 78, I can play along, but 98, not so much.
Well, I knew Chris would probably be more inclined to remember 98. So how did that come about? Remind us.
That might be wrong, by the way. It's just weird. I'm just a weird person overall, and that was just the thing where I was growing up. And you know how some people track stats in baseball or basketball or football, and you kind of remember statistics? Well, I always tracked what songs were the most popular songs in the country, and it just kind of stuck in my head what was popular, you know, when I was in certain grades in school. So I remember, like, in 1998, you know, what year, you know, how old was I, and you know, what was popular then, and what songs do I remember seeing at number one? And that's how that really weird bar trick and party trick has developed over the last 15 years.
Chris, did the Super Bowl's presence in Hennepin County help or hinder the healing process for wounded Vikings hearts?
I don't think it helped. I think after that Eagles game, it's amazing the range of emotion that happened. You know, you go from this euphoric victory, this unbelievable victory where people are saying it erased decades of, you know, a snake-bitten franchise and turn their fortunes around. And then the next week they go out and they get clobbered. I couldn't tell you the range of emotion that this city went through. It started to feel after the week after the Diggs catch, it started to feel a lot like, you know, 2016 with the Cubs here in Minneapolis, where it was like, okay, everybody kind of felt that this could be the year where this cursed franchise finally gets over the hump. And then they just go out and lay an egg against Philadelphia. And you know, to have the Super Bowl here when you could have been playing in it, and now the other team's fans are coming in here and turning your city into a party, I don't think it helped one bit. It probably added to the pain a little bit.
Real quick before I let you go, you surprised the Hawks have yet to turn it around since you left town?
Yeah. That, I've been watching, following that and following along with that. I have to say I'm surprised. It always seemed like this time of year they always would turn it on and find another level or another gear and win 9 of 10 games. And you know, it's just weird to watch it from afar. It just hasn't happened for them this year. And I think what's maybe a little unsettling is that it's a lot of the top guys and the big money guys who aren't producing, and they're getting contributions from some of the younger guys. And you think coming into the year, if you just get, you know, Alex DeBrincat or Nick Schmaltz to play at an NHL level, that this team might be a contender. But it's the guys who are making all the money that aren't stepping up, and I think that's what's most disheartening. And you start to think maybe this window is shut on this group.
Chris, thanks for the visit. The answer, by the way, to Dave's question, Nice and Slow by Usher.
By Usher, right?
By Usher.
Yeah. That's... Okay, I was wrong. See, I'm not perfect.
We don't expect perfection. Thank you, Chris.
Take care.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Chris Hine from the Minneapolis Star Tribune joining us on The Score.
Big music fan.
Yes, he is. And knowing he was coming on, I quoted Joni Mitchell earlier in the show. And I don't even know if you caught it. You don't know what you got till it's gone?
I did not catch that.
Yeah,
right over my head, Mac.
Yeah. You gotta stay on your toes, man.
I need another cup of coffee.
Yeah. We're on the air until 1 o'clock today. We've got Tom Thibodeau going to join us in about 20 minutes, and we'll do some more NFL probably at around 12:30 today. I want to get into some big picture NFL items as well. We're filling in for Matt Spiegel and Danny Parkins. If you're not familiar with me, I'm Dan McNeil. He's David Haw. We're here until 1 today.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Glad you're with us on this snowy Friday morning in Chicago. It's not showing any signs of slowing as I look out the window.
Not until tonight.
9 floors above Prudential Plaza. It's just coming down. Yeah.
Be careful out there. It's not supposed to let up until 9 o'clock tonight and then get a little bit of a respite.
Slow commutes make for long radio listens.
It does.
It's not always a negative.
Kids at home from school, turning on the radio. You know, why not sit at home and listen to a little sports talk radio?
I wimped out yesterday. I didn't want to, you know, David and I both live in Northwest Indiana. You're not far from me. I'm in Dyer. You're nearby. I wanted to just say, all right, built Ford Tough, right? I'm just going to drive in and I think I should go downtown and get a room. I don't want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to make the commute. You trusted public transportation and it did not let you down.
It did not let me down. The ride home could be a little bit more challenging because it's coming down a lot heavier now than it was maybe overnight. But, you know, this is winter in Chicago. It's not ideal.
Yeah, we have to expect it, and there will be more of it. The good news is we're inching our way closer to March.
Well, a week from Sunday, I'm going to spring training for 5 days, so
yeah,
I'm inching my way closer to that.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out there as well. They're starting a little bit earlier this year than in past years, which is good if you're sick of cold weather.
It's good unless you're, you know, Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish and waiting for your deal to come.
It's remarkable to me it's gone this deep into the offseason, and some big names are yet to sign contracts, and I don't know if it's going to spill into the regular season.
It's inevitable. It's got to, Mac. Look.
Even in terms of just getting a guy signed or getting a guy ready to go?
I think probably ready to go.
Right.
And maybe signed.
Really?
Doesn't this have a domino effect?
So you think
effect?
The season begins without Jake Arrieta having an employer?
I don't know that I would put those guys in that category. I think that Darvish and Arrieta at the top of the pitching list will have a team, a home, by the time the season starts. But free agency affects more than just the top of the list. The guys who are your depth guys, your utility guys, your fourth outfielders, your second catchers, your pinch hitters, they're probably going to go into opening day without knowing where they're going to play this year. And teams may end up waiting to find out where the needs exist. Maybe they give a young kid who is in camp and maybe he's not going to work out, and maybe that bleeds into May. I don't know. This is unusual. It's unprecedented. So how can you predict?
It's always been easy for me to spend the Cubs' money, and it is in this case. What are you waiting for? Sign one of them.
You're saying that now, but if it's a 6-year deal to Jake Arrieta, and in year 3 he breaks down and he's a 8-12 pitcher with a 4.75 ERA. Won't you be the first to criticize that? He's got 3 years left on a deal paying him $25 million per?
If it were me, I'd never sign a pitcher to a 6-year contract.
But I
understand. It's not my money, so it's easy for me to spend it. If they win a World Series next November, because that's when they're playing, if they win next year's series, who cares about year 5 or year 6? You know, who cares?
That's a valid reaction. That's a valid, understandable way to look at it. It's an emotional one too, right, Mac? That's an emotional way to look at it. Theo and Jed can't look at this emotionally. They've got to plan for the future, so beyond next November. And I think that's preventing them from saying, I'm going to give you 6 years you 32-year-old pitcher. I'm going to give you 5 years, whatever you want.
Right.
They're going to hold their ground. And I understand that. And that's where I think, you know, that they can't overspend in terms of years. Money's money. But one of those guys is a difference maker. If they end up with neither of those guys, they're in trouble.
This hour is being sponsored by Fogo DeShaun. Are you saying that right? God, I've called it the wrong thing for all these years. Now I cannot commit it. I should just say Mark Nagy or Matt Helfrich.
I think he's the maitre d'.
Experience Fogo DeShaun, the authentic Brazilian steakhouse where premium fire-roasted meat like filet, like lamb chops, carved right at your table. Indulge today at Fogo in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville. Matt, Mark, Fogo. It's all coming Tibbs. Up in just a little bit. Tibbs is going to join us in a few minutes on Sports Radio 670.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.